caller.
You can't get nobody to talk to you? KG4 or PFI?
I'm just too ugly. That's all there is to it. You don't mind who you've been seen talking to, you do you, Don? good to hear you.
Talking to you, I think it was last night. He was right at time for the net to start, and we couldn't talk, but just had to turn the radio on. So I hope your day's going well, and we got a blanket of fine snow over here in Piedmont.
Grandson's birthday tonight, and they wanted us to go down to some place by I-85 to some fancy restaurant, I tell you. And I just told her, no, don't think so with the forecast and all, and it's cold, and I'm not that crazy about driving in traffic this time of night. You know, it was like at 6 o'clock. Sure enough, I was right. I texted the daughter a minute ago, and she said, it's really icy out there. I guess that thin film of snow melted, and then it froze.
You're 26 degrees on the back porch right now, and I looked up there, and it's doing a real fine mist coming down. Guess what that's going for it to do?
You got that right. Well, Bernice is sitting over there. The FBI just come on, and I just fired up the rigs here. I haven't even looked around to see if there's anything on them or not. I was watching live below zero. I guess that's fitting tonight. I'm not young anymore, Don, and matter of fact, I'll be 77 tomorrow. 4 more hours.
Well, happy birthday in 4 more hours. You got a little bit to catch up with me. I'm 84, and in November I'll turn 85, so I'm trotting along a little bit ahead of you.
Congratulations on that. I hope I can make it that far. I got to have some kidney surgery done the next month. I'm not looking forward to, but other than that, I'm in pretty good shape. Well, if you hear any screaming here, it's on the FBI on TV. It's not Bernice. I'm not slapping her around. No, I used to never think anything about going out and driving on that ice and snow back in Kansas. But I do now, especially after I fell one time on the black ice. Don't ever want to do that again either.
They don't like it when you go boom, do they? When I was stationed in the Air Force up in Chinookville, Illinois, I went out to get my car one day, and I couldn't find it. I got to looking, the only thing I could see was the antenna sticking up. Snowplow had come along and just covered up all the cars that were sitting there. It took me about an hour and a half to get my car out.
We've been in that situation. One of two bad times that we had was we went to Las Vegas, and I think we had $100 to spend on back then, and that was a stretch, and they had us deal for $99.95. But when we come back, we didn't figure on there being a blizzard in Kansas City, and the bus went out and they dropped you off at them little houses out in the out back parking, you know. And then he drove off. Well, I didn't realize it, but there was so much snow, you couldn't read the license plates. And you couldn't hardly tell which car was which. And that was the last bus to run that evening. It was, late, real late. And we walked around a while, but it was blowing real hard, snowing real hard, and we was about to freeze to death because we weren't dressed for it. The only thing we can do is go back to one of those little phone booth things there where the bus stop is. And didn't even have a door on it. And see if that telephone works. And you know, I'd have bet money it didn't work. And it did. And we called this guy and he'd come out. And and picked us up, but it took him quite a while, and he just kept driving round and round in circles till we found our car, and then tried to shovel all the snow off and head for home.
Poor PFI. Yeah, I just don't like cold weather. I don't like snow, and we drove, when I got stationed on my permanent base in Abilene, Texas, me and my wife, I came home on leave, and while we were home, it come a big snow, and I had to drive back all the way to Texas in on snow and ice and I don't know what all, and I didn't even get back on time. I had to call the base and tell them I just wasn't going to make it because I had a 30-day leave, and I've done, you know how it is, you want to stay home as much as you can, but I called them and told them I was going to be late, and they said, "Ah, oh, don't worry about it, just come back safe."
Nice of them, at least you weren't AWOL, and I never was, and never got in trouble, and but boy, I sure feared it too. I took a mail plane one time just before we was to deploy to Vietnam when I was on the carrier, and I went out of bounds. Well, there was a certain mileage. I think it was 500 miles. It read the alert, and so I wasn't supposed to go that far. And I'm trying to put a PIN number in here. Anyways, I visited my brother. He was a first-class petty officer then, and he was up in Alameda. And his wife brought me back to the base and dropped me off. When I went to get on that C-47, the mail plane, to go back to San Diego, there was an ensign there. And I thought, oh my God, this guy's going to go by the book. And boy, he did. And he wasn't going to let me on that plane because I didn't have an out-of-bounds chit. Everything in the Navy had to have a chit. And I just begged him. I said, "I've never been in trouble." And I said, "I got to work night shift tonight." And I said, "Please let me on that plane." Finally, he did. And he said, "I'm sticking my neck out." He said, "I'll tell you what, though, Ralph," he says, "if you ever come back up here and I catch you," he says, "you'll never get on that plane again." And that was nice of him because I would have been AWOL. And I'd have been in trouble for being out of bounds.
Something dumb, too. I came home. I was stationed up in Illinois going through jet engine school. And I had I think it was a 3-day pass. Thumbed all the way back to Greenville and picked up my car. I had a 51 Ford coupe. And got to see my girlfriend, which is my wife now, and got back in the car and drove all the way back up there and got back in time. But if I'd have got something that happened and I'd been that far away from the base, they would have crucified me.
We'd have had the non-judicial punishment, what the Navy called it, and it would have been a captain's mast, and they would have restricted me to base or something, you know. And, wow, that was the closest I ever come to being late. And I made it back in time, but I sure never went back up there on that mail plane. And I knew the captain would not give me an out-of-bounds jet with that carrier on ready alert. But that was going to be the last time for I went overseas. And then luckily I got transferred just before it did. My brother and I went overseas together, but I transferred up to his squadron, and it landed on good old solid ground. Being from Kansas, they told me them carriers didn't rock, but you know what? They lied, Don.
Yeah, we were both young and carefree and bulletproof and all that kind of carrying on. Let me take a pause here, see if somebody else wants to get on here. TG4PFI. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, TR. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I didn't fear anything. Well, my cousin just sent me a text a few minutes ago. He was at the presidential inaugural ball with some doctor. He was all the time in for that highfalutin stuff. He's a lawyer up here in Washington, but I kind of envy him on that one. That would have been kind of neat to go to that one.
I'll just stay around here. I don't like to be around 500 thousands of people. I got enough problems in Piedmont. Let's long run around here trying to go to some kind of ball or something. But anyway, that's just the way I am, I guess. And I got a text over. I got to go see what that is. So I called some folks about my fence out there. I'm going to have my fence replaced. They didn't haul my building, what's left of it. They didn't haul it all. But it tore up my fence all the way around. And while they were back there hauling my building off, they damaged my drain lines for my septic tank. So I've got to have that replaced. So if it ain't one thing or another, first thing you know, all my shoelaces will come untied and I'll go flopping around in town.
Well, I see you got off a little luckier than my neighbor. She's a single lady down there, really lovely lady, Bernice and I know. And Kathy had a bird feeder out in the backyard, way out in the backyard, down near the timber. And the bears just tore down the chain link fence and come right on over it. Thankfully, they didn't tear down the part that my 160-meter Carolina Wyndham's tied to. But, man, did they do a job. She just now had that refixed here last week. I bet that cost her some bucks. All right, Don, I'll catch you in a little bit. I'll go over and get Bernice's volume control for the TV, and I'll still be around. I want to look around HF here a little. And great talking to you. I think it's KG4PFI, if I got that right, Don. N0TR 73, don't
you? Yeah, right. I can't remember if I told you that joke I wanted you to tell your wife about the lady was trying to work a puzzle. Did I tell you that?
You might have, but go ahead. I'll turn the radio up where she can hear it.
I came home from work, walked in the house, and his wife was in the living room, had a card table folded out, and she was doing something on the card table, and he walked in there and he said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm trying to work this puzzle." Said, "I've been working at it for about an hour now and I can't get none of the pieces to fit together. It's supposed to be a picture of a tiger." He said, "Honey, you ain't never gonna be able to put that puzzle together." She said, "Why not?" He said, "Put them cornflakes back in the box."
That's a good one. You like that, Bernice?
Yeah, that's good.
That's a nice one, too. All right, Don, go take care of your text and see what you got there. This is N0.
Okay, Tom, I always enjoyed talking with you. N0TR, KG4PFI, and I'm clear.